And now, it's time for our weekly news round, Lutheran Radio News with Paul Hill.
Churches in Britain have been told to tighten security after the murder of an 85-year-old priest in Normandy on Monday. The heightened state of security comes as images threatening attacks in London and other major world capitals were posted on jihadi messaging app Telegram, according to SITE Intelligence Group. Despite there being no specific intelligence relating to attacks against the Christian community in the UK, the National Police Chiefs Council is urging the community to be alert but not alarmed, report concerns and review their security as a precaution. France was seeking to understand how a jihadist awaiting trial on terror charges could attack a small town church in broad daylight, killing a priest in the latest atrocity claimed by the Islamic State group. Adel Kermish was one of the two attackers who stormed the church in the northern town of Saint-Étienne-de-Rouvray during morning mass, slitting the throat of an 84-year-old priest and leaving a worshipper with serious injuries. The attack claimed by IS jihadists came less than 2 weeks after Tunisian Mohamed Boulel ploughed a truck into a crowd in the Riviera city of Nice, killing 84 people and injuring over 300. The third major attack on France in 18 months prompted a bitter political spat over alleged security failings, and revelations over the church attack were likely to raise further questions. Paris prosecutor Francois Mollet said Kermish first came to attention of anti-terror officials when a family member alerted he was missing in March 2015. German officials arrested him and found he was using his brother's identity in a bid to travel to Syria. He was released under judicial supervision, but in May fled to Turkey, where he was again arrested and returned to France. He was then held in custody until March this year. Kermish was released and fitted with an electronic bracelet which allowed him to leave his house on weekdays between 8 a.m. and 12:30 p.m., Mollet said. Tuesday's attack prompted renewed opposition calls to further harden France's anti-terrorism legislation. The Socialist President Francois Hollande, who faces a tough re-election bid next year, rejected them, saying, "Restricting our freedoms will not make the fight against terrorism more effective." Changes made to legislation in 2015 and the extension of a state of emergency in the wake of the Nice attack already gave authorities sufficient capacity to act, he said. But the deputy chief of France's police union, Frédéric Lagouche, said it should not be possible for someone awaiting trial on charges of having links to terrorism to be released on house arrest. Mohamed Karabila, who heads a regional council of Muslim worship for Haute Normandy, where the church attack took place, asked simply, "How could a person wearing an electronic bracelet carry out an attack? Where are the police?" Kermish and another assailant entered the centuries-old stone church of Saint-Étienne, taking hostage the priest, Jacques Hamel, three nuns and two worshippers. One of the nuns managed to escape and call police, who tried to negotiate with the hostage takers. The nun, Sister Danielle, told local radio RMC that the men were speaking Arabic and shouting and had recorded the attack. Three hostages were lined up in front of the church door, meaning police could not launch an attack, said Mollet. Two nuns and one worshipper exited the church, followed by the two attackers, one carrying a handgun, who charged at police shouting "Allah Akbar, God is greatest." Police gunned down the jihadists. Saint-Étienne Stone and Brick Town Hall, a short distance from the church, became a communal grieving place as residents signed a condolence book and left candles and flowers. The attack renewed fears of social and religious tensions in France. Support is rising for the anti-immigrant far right, and the country's millions of moderate Muslims fear a backlash, fears IS has been feeding with a constant stream of propaganda. "It is shot directly at Western Christianity," said Daniel Schoenfield, an analyst with the Soufan Group. "It is this effort by the Islamic State and their supporters to drive a further wedge between broader Western society and Muslims." The Reverend Alexandra Joly, who knew the slain priest, said, "If we are afraid, they have won. They must not win. We must not enter in the game of fear, of rejection." To remind Lutheran Radio UK listeners of the attacks in Europe this year, on March the 22nd, three Islamic State suicide bombers, all Belgian nationals, blew themselves up at Brussels Airport and in a metro train in the Belgian capital, killing 32 people. Police find links with the November attacks in Paris. June the 14th, a Frenchman of Moroccan origin stabs a police commander to death outside his home in a Paris suburb and kills his partner, who also worked for the police. The attacker told police negotiators during the siege that he was answering an appeal by Islamic State. On July the 14th, the gunman drives a heavy truck into a crowd celebrating Bastille Day in the French city of Nice, killing at least 84 people and leaving scores more in an attack claimed by Islamic State. The attacker is identified as a Tunisian-born Frenchman. July the 18th, a 17-year-old Afghan refugee wielding an axe and a knife attacks passengers on a train in southern Germany, severely wounding four before being shot dead by police. Islamic State claimed responsibility for the attack. July the 22nd, an 18-year-old German-Iranian gunman apparently acting alone kills at least nine people in Munich. The teenager had no Islamist ties but was obsessed with mass killings. The attack was carried out on the fifth anniversary of twin attacks by Norwegian mass murderer Andres Breivik that killed 77 people. And on July the 24th, a Syrian man wounds 15 people when he blows himself up outside a music festival in Ansbach in southern Germany. The attack is claimed by Islamic State. The 27-year-old arrived in Germany 2 years ago and claimed asylum. He had been in trouble with the police repeatedly for drug-taking and other offences and had faced deportation to Bulgaria. And sadly, this latest attack on the Normandy church. We would ask you all to remember the families and victims of these attacks in your prayers, and that peace and safety will soon return to us all. Several investors in two faltering Canadian Lutheran church investment funds are accusing a church financial committee and the court-appointed insolvency monitor of engaging in a pattern of deceit, non-disclosure and bad faith in order to gain approval for a restructuring plan. The allegations are contained in documents filed in a Calgary court early this month in relation to a controversial plan to restructure two investment funds that contained more than $130 million when they became insolvent in January 2015. Under the restructuring plan, larger investors have been encouraged to accept shares in a newly formed company in lieu of their investments in the funds, while investors with $5,000 or less in the funds will be paid out in full. Legal briefs filed on behalf of several investors who oppose the restructuring plan and wish instead to launch a class action lawsuit against the church alleged the church's financial committee and Deloitte, the insolvency monitor, sought to gain support for the restructuring plan at any cost, including the following allegations. Buying the vote of small investors by promising to pay in full, claims under $5,000. 42% of those voted in favour of the plan were small investors, but they represent less than 1% of the dollar amount of the vote in favour of the plan. Targeting large investors in a communications campaign and providing inaccurate information to them for the purpose of obtaining their vote. Using religious leaders to exert undue influence in order to obtain the support of their congregations and to silence dissent. And failing to disclose in a full and timely way the existence of the significant problems associated with the church-owned development east of Calgary. The result is a plan which is grossly unfair to those who have lost the most of their funds to live, one legal brief states. None of the investors' allegations have been proven in court. A judge has reserved judgment on the plan. It is expected a decision will be issued on July the 29th. The finances of the Alberta BC District of Lutheran Church Canada are now being overseen by a court-appointed monitor, Deloitte Restructuring Incorporated. For decades, members of the Lutheran Church in Alberta and British Columbia were encouraged to invest in the Church Extension Fund, CEF, and District Investments Limited, DIL. The Extension Fund made loans to congregations to build or renovate churches and to build schools. The district invested in a real estate development called Prince of Peace, east of Calgary, which includes a church, school, retirement home, and a dementia care facility. The Prince of Peace project includes a church, a school, and a supportive living facility, which have been supported by the troubled investment funds. Documents filed with the Court of Queen's Bench of Alberta show the Extension Fund lent $91 million to the Prince of Peace development. The development doesn't have enough assets to satisfy its outstanding liabilities in a liquidation scenario, one of the options currently being considered by investors. Investors, some of those who invested their life savings, only learned of the financial crisis in early January 2015. They were told their accounts were frozen and that CEF was not able to fully repay the $95 million owed to investors, most of whom are more than 70 years old. Both funds are now protected from investors withdrawing their money under the Federal Companies Creditors Arrangement Act, or CCAA. Deloitte has posted numerous court documents online, including several affidavits from investors who alleged they were deceived and manipulated both before and after funds fell under creditor protection. Several investors who oppose the restructuring plan are accusing Deloitte of not being neutral and of not providing timely information about development plans for the Prince of Peace project. Some investors say they were not told by Deloitte about planning documents which reveal significant impediments to development, such as the requirement to spend millions of dollars to supply municipal water and sanitary services, which is the money the district doesn't have. And finally, no one is above the law in Norway, it would seem, after a policeman fined himself for failing to wear a life jacket. Officer Arne Stavnes was pictured in the pages of the Verdens Gang newspaper at the helm of his police boat during a patrol of Utøya Island, 24 miles away from Oslo. The photo prompted several witty comments from readers who noted that the skipper was flouting the law by not wearing his police-issue lifesaver, compulsory in Norway on vessels less than 8 meters long. The honest policeman moved to stay one step ahead of the criticism and published a photo of his self-issued 500 Norwegian kroner penalty. My name is Paul Hill. Thank you for listening to Lutheran Radio UK. Lutheran Radio News will be back next Friday. Until then, every blessing to you and goodbye for now.
On your PC, tablet, mobile phone and internet radio receiver, this is Lutheran Radio UK.